Hello and welcome to Pure Championship, the podcast all about the best league in the world. In today's show, Ali and I have roped in Morton fan Evan McFarlane to discuss the Capello club's changing fortunes under new boss Dougie Emery. Before getting into the good stuff, Evan, I'm going to ask you for your thoughts on Morton's season up until Emery's appointment a few weeks ago. What was the kind of season like? Was it kind of going as expected?
Christy, how long have you got? It probably was going as expected, diabolical. It just seemed to get worse every week as well. That's personally as bad as I've ever seen it, and that includes the 13-14 season, where we lost 10-2. The football was abysmal. We won 3 games all season in the league. Players have fallen out with fans fallen out with the board. Just from start to finish, it was just a rabble. And because we'd handed a 2-year deal to McPherson as well, it didn't look as though it was going to be something we could actually reverse as well. But thankfully, we've given ourselves a bit of a chance of staying up now.
Yeah, and I suppose that takes us on nicely to our second question, Evan, which is what's changed under Emery? Are there any players who were previously totally out of favour, but who are now getting more of a chance? I suppose that's quite a specific question, but maybe if you could answer that one first and then go on to talk about what's changed more generally under Emery.
I suppose in terms of improving players, the entire squad has improved, obviously, because we're doing a lot better. But if you want to highlight, I suppose looking at players that have really struggled, like Gavin Riley, who now looks to be back to his former self, or his former St Mirren self, who's actually scoring goals, he's taking up really good positions, and he looks like somebody that Morton was wanting to keep on permanently when only about a month ago. I don't think most Morton fans would have been bothered if his loan had been cancelled. And his pressing as well has been phenomenal. It's been a huge change in, you know, his running. And sorry to mention it, because Dunfermline was sort of a baller as well. He was really crucial to that, and he was crucial on Saturday against Ayr as well. Another one's probably Cameron Blues, much maligned amongst the Morton support, but he's really come on to a game recently. He's still a bit of a limited player, but the almost immediate improvement in him and the runs he's making into the box, supporting runs he's making for Ukwu and Oliver, I think that highlights the immediate impact that Emery's had and what he's been able to do. Because we were never going to be able to make wholesale changes to this squad. We were going to have to pretty much play with what McPherson had assembled. We don't have the money to make a lot of changes. So it's really encouraging that so early on, Emery's already starting to improve these players. In terms of what's actually changed, I think if you look Morton stylistically or look at the basic stats of games, I don't think you'll notice much different. But our pressing stats, if anyone actually has a hold of them out there on Twitter, please get in touch with me. I think they're going to be night and day to what they are or were under McPherson. There's a real change in attitude and effort, and that's really encouraging. That's something that Emery preached about when he came in, that he wouldn't accept anything less than 100% every game. And that's been the case. And obviously there's been, you know, it's not just about passion and commitment and all that. It has been like subtle changes to the system we play, going to a back five, becoming more compact, and we're still unashamedly direct, but a lot of the balls that we're playing up top are now getting into the channels as well, rather than directly to Gozi Ugwu. Good example of that is on Saturday, where he'd ventured off to the right and received the ball and surged in, like causing havoc against there. And we're actually having midfielders make runs to support him and to support Oliver now. So we're giving ourselves much more chance to actually score in games, and we look less one-dimensional. So really early on, it's been a few like key basic things, but getting that effort, getting that actual commitment, and players that actually look like they want to play football has been, I'd say, the main thing to start with.
I mean, it's quite the turnaround. Obviously, like you said, Gavin Riley's now scoring goals. Robbie Muirhead's even scoring goals. Now, if that's not a sign of a fantastic manager getting those two, I think most would say Diddy's. Gavin Riley obviously started quite well at Queen of the South and never really lived up to the hype.
That's extremely harsh. That's extremely harsh, Cammy.
I watched Robbie Muirhead at the Pars for far too long, he was there about a season and a half, and he was rotten. He then turned into the kind of second coming of Ronaldinho or whoever you like that's a big player in the playoffs last year, scoring those goals against Airdrie. And I to be fair, the fact that Emery's managed to get a tune out of them and some of the other Morton players who, like you say, Evan, they were the kind of players that you were going to be stuck with. And it just goes to show what a difference having someone competent in charge can make, having a bit of belief in the team. I'd seen a stat going around that since Doug Emery came in, he's got 7 points and 8 goals in his first 3 games in charge. It took Gus McPherson 10 and 12 games respectively to hit those totals. So in terms of instant impact, you couldn't have really asked for much better than that. But Ali, I think you're wanting to kind of touch on that kind of start.
Yeah, I think that whole chat of an instant impact does lead us on quite nicely to this question, which is, Evan, are we seeing a new manager bounce, or is it something more than that, something more sustainable that we're seeing at Morton?
I hope it's not just new manager bounce. It'll be interesting to see how we actually respond to a defeat, but I'd say the decision to punt McPherson has already been vindicated.
Yeah,
the stats have just been given there. You know, we've given ourselves an actual chance now. And the thing about the team is it's modelled in the image of Doogie Emery as a player who was full throttle, in your face, maximum effort. And, you know, that's the reason that he'd such a high reputation at Accies. He left us with his head held high despite getting relegated. You know, he's made it very clear from day one that any player that's, you know, not given 100% like he wouldn't be playing for us. So I think that effort and all that is always going to be there. But it's encouraging that his first game in charge was Kilmarnock away. For the first 60 minutes of that, we really struggled. It didn't look like there'd been much of an impact at all. But he made a change to the system, brought on a couple of subs, and we equalised. And we would not have done that under McPherson. Like, the simplest of tactical changes, and actually feeling like we could go and get a result like Kilmarnock wouldn't have existed under McPherson. So that is there as well. I think that mentality shift is there. It's whether, it's whether we can sustain it or not. But I've got more confidence in us doing it under Emery than, you know, I've done under McPherson.
You're talking about sustaining this kind of good form, and it kind of leads us on quite nicely to the fact that Emery was included in the SFA's kind of long list of people with betting charges raised against them. Does that inclusion kind of concern you at all, that you could potentially see him banned or suspended? I think the short answer is, without your manager who's coming in and turned things completely on their head in a positive way, are you a bit worried that that could potentially be an outcome? Or is the kind of word in the Morton kind of circles that he's going to be fine and the club will be fine as well?
It worries me a wee bit, but purely because it'd be the most Morton thing to happen in history. But we need to just see. I don't know if there's actually any precedent of managers, you know, suffering from stuff that they've done in their playing days. If there was going to be a first time, it would probably happen to us. I don't know. It's been kind of put in the back burner at the minute, and we'll see. I think the hearing's 14th or 17th of February. So we just need to find out. If Emery can't take charge, it would need to be Derek Anderson and John Sutton, and they're the ones that we lost 6-1 to Inverness under, so I wouldn't be too keen about that. But if he was still able to coach the players, then maybe be at least something bad. I honestly don't know. We'll just need to see. It's going to be interesting. It's going to be interesting to see how each member of that 14 that get named are going to get punished retrospectively.
Yeah, certainly. And it will be interesting, because if Emery, like you say, is punted, where do you kind of go from there? Do you think you're trying to appoint a new manager? Do you kind of stick it out? But I think you're quite lucky that it maybe is a month or so away. So if you're talking a month, that's 4, maybe 5, 6 games, depending on how the schedule is. I can't remember off the top of my head. But given how you've started, you'll be in the playoffs at that rate anyway, so you'll be sound. And that there might not be enough time for you to get dragged back into the relegation playoffs. But thinking about the kind of rest of the season, then we're a little way past the halfway point now. What should Morton's goals be? Have they changed now that Emery's come in and had such a positive influence?
Oh no, it's still staying up. You know, given the mess we were in, if we can do that relatively comfortable, I'd be happy. Just if we can finish top of the mini league that we found ourselves in, I'd be delighted with that as well. I can't really see anyone pulling away from like this bottom cluster of teams. I think it's going to go down to the wire, and I think everyone is still going to be a result or two away from disaster. And you know, I don't think we're going to be able to sustain the form that we've got at the minute. So I do think we are going to be there or thereabouts, but I'm obviously much more faith in us actually staying up now, and just keeping our head above water. So I'd be delighted with that, then clear the decks in the summer and go from there.
Yeah, and I suppose we've focused mainly on matters on the field of play, Evan, but what do you make of what's happening off the field of play at Morton? Obviously, the club's now under fan ownership, and certainly, ostensibly, the club looks to be heading in a really good direction. But are you happy with where the club is headed, Evan?
I'm a wee bit more positive now. It was a really rocky first 6 months or so under the new owners, MCT. But I think how crap and garbage we were on the pitch clouded things a lot more, and it made things were scrutinised a lot more, and obviously they still needed to be scrutinised, and there were things that we ultimately just did not do well as a club, regardless of how, you know, bad we were on the pitch. But now there's obviously a lot more positive feeling around the club, and we've been able to engage with supporters on social media now, put a lot more content out there, do more with merchandising and stuff, just off the back of a few good results, and everything feels a bit better. It feels like the club are properly communicating with supporters now, and there's still teething issues. There's still things that we have to get sorted. We have to sort the commercial side. We have to sort certain things with Capital. We have to sort the playing squad. But these things will come. But I think me and most other Morton fans are convinced we are heading in the right direction now, when I'd say about a month ago things looked really bleak.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's fair enough. Like you say, fan ownership is a massive step for any club to take, and Morton, I mean, I don't think you're going to hate me for saying it, maybe stagnated, it maybe went kind of as far as they could expect to go under the previous owners. They were kind of that team who'd kind of be round about the bottom end of the Championship, would get relegated, would be probably too good for League One. But yeah, you just kind of need to look at Hearts, obviously, worlds apart from Morton. But what fan ownership has done for them, it's allowed them to get back into the Premiership. Obviously, they kind of had that blip with them relegated into the Championship. But yeah, I can't disagree. It's certainly a positive step. So moving away from Morton then, Evan, going to put you under some pressure. And let's speak about the Championship more generally this season. What have you kind of made of the league as a whole? Would you agree that the kind of quality of the league maybe isn't as good as it has been in recent years?
Probably, aye. And it's probably down to us. Hamilton, just... I mean, that bottom league of teams, the fact that half the league could get relegated and you'd just be like, hey, aye, that's fair enough. Probably speaks volumes. But not a slant on our growth at all, but there is a part-time team that are top of the division. You know, again, that's not a dig at them, but I think it has gone down, but it's made for some unbelievable cinch.
Absolutely. Nothing can beat some great quality cinch. Now, finally, Evan, I'm going to put you under even more pressure.
How much pressure are you going to put him under?
tons and tons.
He'll not want to come back on.
Well, I've got to keep piling the pressure on. So, Morton, where are Morton finishing this season?
Seventh.
Ooh. And who's finishing top, who's finishing bottom?
I worry for Dunfermline.
Come on, don't say that. That's not the answer I was hoping for.
I'm not saying they will, but all the ingredients are there. Everything you need for a relegation is currently at Dunfermline.
That's true. And like I've kind of said, I think I've said it to Ali, losing 5-0 to Morton, with all due respect to Morton, is, yeah, if that doesn't scream get relegated, I don't know what will. Like you say, Morton have obviously been a bit of a basket case for most of the season, but the Pars have had their own kind of banter year of their own. And I mean, you just can't beat it. And obviously, I'm hopeful that the Pars surviving for, obviously, having done the podcast with Chris for several years, I've got a wee bit of a soft spot for Morton. Hope they stay up, because I do enjoy a Capello away day. I enjoy the wee double biscuits with the club badges on them and that wee bowling club at the top of the hill. It's a good club, and one that I'd be quite gutted to see go down. But if it was at the expense of the Pars staying up, yeah, get Morton down. Sorry, Evan.
Ruthless.
Listen, applying all the pressure and being as ruthless as you like, that's what you get to do when you're hosting the Pure Championship podcast.
That's fine. And at least we can agree we're not Falkirk.
Well, that's anyway, so that brings an end to the podcast. Thank you very much for your time, Evan, and your insight into Magnificent Morton. That is going to be their nickname for the next few weeks until they no doubt capitulate and become, I don't know, Morbid Morton. That could maybe do some work. But yeah, if you've enjoyed what you've listened to in this podcast, be sure to share it with your pals, leave reviews, and we'll be back in 2 weeks with another episode. Thanks for listening.